You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Paddy Aspel are in the studio on this edition of the podcast, looking ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Meetings at Ayr, Plumpton and Southall to look forward to on Monday. The High Five meeting is Plumpton and we'll be focusing on those races shortly. First up though, Paddy, you all right?
I'm good, Alex. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all, actually. Not too bad at all. We'll start just by looking back at Saturday's action. Of course, we're in the midst of Sunday's racing as we record this, but of course it was a action-packed Saturday. There's only really one place to start, isn't there? And that's the unfortunate death of Many Clouds, having won the Cotswold Chase. Such a brave performance in out-battling Thistlecrack. And it was just desperately sad, wasn't it, the way that it happened. And of course, your brother Leighton Aspel, on board the horse, a faithful servant for Leighton over the last few years, of course, gave him the Grand National win, the second Grand National win for him. Just devastating, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Obviously, I was in the studio yesterday, and it was a real blow. Obviously, any day, but just such a fantastic day's racing, and after such a fantastic race, you know, it was amazing. I mean, me and Kevin and Gareth were in the studio, and you know, it was amazing to watch. So, but I mean, obviously, he's got history of, I think, apart from his disappointing Gold Cup run, he had been post-race distressed after every one of his runs. It was just his makeup, you know, and it all boils down to how much effort he puts into his work. And I just think that, you know, Oliver summed it up yesterday. I mean, he tries that hard that, unfortunately, to beat a horse of Thistlecrack's ability, it cost him his life yesterday, which, you know, I mean, when Kevin said straight away afterwards that he had gone down straight away, I was very worried, because there's a difference between being distressed and collapsing.
Yeah.
You know, when they collapse, they don't often get back up, unfortunately. And, you know, I thought Oliver Sherwood summed it up perfectly. I mean, look, as attached as we get to the horses, obviously, and people do get attached to national winners, especially, you know, and the way he did it with so much weight. But, you know, and obviously being a Trevor Hemmings owned horse as well. But, you know, like Oliver said, that's what they're bred for. You know, they're bred to run and jump and gallop, and that's what that horse enjoyed doing. And we see so many horses lose their lives up the gallops at home, and, you know, even in fields, just turned out. Accidents can happen, but he went out on his sword yesterday, and it just shows the effort he puts in, because, like I say, although it was in his makeup to get distressed post-race, unfortunately, yesterday, that's what it took to beat such a fantastic horse in Thistlecrack. It took his life, but yeah, it took from a great day's racing. And but look, the thing about Oliver Sherwood is, Oliver's been in the big time several years ago, you know, a leading big trainer, and like his own words, he's had a few quiet years until Deputy Dan and Puffin Billy and obviously Manny Clouds came along, and please God, they'll find another one.
Yeah.
You know, but the heartbreaking thing as well is also after the wind operation, and just the way he's come back this year, Manny Clouds, he was a real live Gold Cup contender and obviously Grand National contender, you know, to defend to regain his crown there. But look, it's not to be, and that's the way it goes. And racing's a very fast moving industry, and as heartbreaking as it seems at the minute, things will soon bounce back, please God.
It speaks volumes. I had a bit of a mug bet yesterday on the short priced favourites, obviously through the day, and I obviously had Thistlecrack in there, and I genuinely wasn't absolutely gutted as they crossed the line, because I was so... You almost don't mind losing when it's... I mean, that might speak volumes for why I've never got any money, Paddy, and why I'm such a dreadful punter. But you know what I mean?
It was sentiment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But seeing Many Clouds get up there, it was such a thrilling finish, and it was such a commendable effort. We were saying off air, you've not had a chance to speak to your brother.
No.
After that.
No.
Because obviously he was more upset than most with it. But no, just we send all our condolences to Oliver Sherwood and the whole team. And as you said, hopefully they can find another one.
Yeah,
from somewhere.
I mean, I don't really want to. For me, I still think Thistlecrack is our Gold Cup winner, even if the Many Clouds incident hadn't occurred, because we explained about me and Gareth went into depth about it yesterday. But everything went wrong for Thistlecrack yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He had no rhythm. Many Clouds had a perfect rhythm from start to finish, whereas Thistlecrack didn't. He was over jumping at a lot of his fences, as he did his previous visit to Cheltenham. He was over jumping at the downhill fences especially, and pitching. And when a horse pitches out the back of the fence, although to the eye it doesn't look like a massive blunder, but it uses a lot of petrol having to gather a horse back up again and get him get him back into a rhythm. Now, he used so much petrol doing that, Tom Scudamore, and still everything went wrong. And he's been beat by a fantastic horse who tries so hard, and he's been beat a short head. You know, he's lost nothing in defeat, and it's a little bit of a blip. I think it will up Thistlecrack's connections games, because they'll think there's a few little chinks there that need to be ironed out. But I still think he's a fantastic animal. And like we mentioned earlier, it took Many Clouds to give his life to actually pass him and beat him. And he's beaten by the narrowest of margins.
Thistlecrack now 6-4 for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And here at William Hill, we are non-runner money back on the race from non-runner insurance there. Thistlecrack 6-4, Native River 9-2, Jackadam 7s, 8s for Q Card, Outlander at 12s, 14s for Bristol Demise, 16s Vroom Vroom Mag, and bigger prices the rest, obviously. A few of those may or may not be turning up, but you can take advantage of the offer on that. We saw at the last, actually, didn't we, that as you alluded to there, Thistlecrack jumped very big, deliberate, was half a length up coming into it, was half a length down coming away from it, and with no momentum. You also said that Thistlecrack, everything went wrong for him, couldn't get into a rhythm. Would that not be a concern if you were going to back him in the Gold Cup? Could it be that he's maybe not suited to the course, or is it just the fact that he's still a novice and he's still learning?
Well, I mean, look at his hurdle form around the track.
I was going to say, not suited to the course. We have seen that he does go there. But you know what I mean? You do get some horses that,
for me,
just don't quite show their best at Cheltenham all the time.
I just think it's his technique. He puts an awful lot into his jumping.
Mm-hmm.
And just through pure gravity, he's so round at his with his jumping technique. His back end is coming up so high over the jumps. Momentum is pushing him out onto his nose, which, you know, he needs to stop that, because, yeah, look, he's clearing the fences fantastically, and you know, he's making a great jumping shape, but he's got to level out a bit and start, you know, just be more fluent and not spending so much time in the air, and just be more accurate. I mean, you look at him at Kempton on a flat galloping track, he was awesome. Still at one or two, he was coming up too far out, and it was only that he was just far superior. You know, it didn't cost him in any way, and on such a flat, easy track. But, you know, he still does too much in a race. He puts too much into it, simply because he loves jumping fences. And, you know, like I said yesterday, he sees a jump, he wants to just go and jump it. But at the minute, he needs to just, you know, connections need to get more practice into him and get him just cracking on with the job. And, like I say, be more accurate, spending less time in the air, because it's all fuel, it's all petrol. And, you know, obviously the higher he goes up in grade in these bigger races, it's fine margins, and he needs to save every ounce. And yesterday it cost him, because there was no rhythm there. At times he was too big, then he was in a little bit deep, and Tom Scoo was just, compared to Many Clouds, the contrast in rhythms that both horses had was 100% difference. And Many Clouds never missed a beat, horse and jockey all the way around. Even down to the last, you could see that he was going to be very long. But late, knowing the horse so well and knowing what he is, he asked him up, and he didn't disappoint, because he's a lovely, scopey, honest jumper. But like I say, he's had plenty of practice now, Manny Clouds, or he did have, but Thistlecrack will get better. Mm-hmm. For me, from day one, his technique was always going to need refining, but the basics were there, long, short, scope, everything. But at the minute, I think it was just a little bit of undoing yesterday. He's a very enthusiastic, fresh, gassy horse, and with so much ability, at times it can just go against him.
And it could be that people are making a bit of a mountain out of a molehill. They were 17 lengths clear of Smad Place in thirds.
17 lengths, yeah. A Hennessy winner.
Exactly.
For me yesterday, it's like I said to Garrett last night, it's like in a football team where there is competition for places. Mm-hmm. It keeps you up to scratch, you up your game, whereas they've got to go back to the drawing board now and think, well, look, we are beatable, so we've got to just sort of put our foot on the gas a bit more and step it up. Mm-hmm. and make sure that they don't get caught out again.
Okay. Thistlecrack 6-4 favourite with us here at William Hill for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. We're going to focus on some of Monday's racing then. I wouldn't have thought there were any Gold Cup potential horses running on Monday. It is pretty basic fare, I think it's fair to say, Paddy. But there's winners to be found. We're going to look at two races at Plumpton, which, as I've already mentioned, is the High Five meeting. One at Ayr and one at Suddle. We'll start at Plumpton with the 3.20. This is a conditional jockey's handicap hurdle. Six runners down to go to post over the 3-mile-and-1-furlong trip here. Firstly, six good jockeys going to post as well. Sometimes in conditional jockeys races, it can pay to maybe take on the slightly weaker jockeys. I'd say there pretty much aren't any in this race. And there's also plenty of horses arriving here in pretty decent form.
Yeah, we've only got six runners, to be honest. And for Plumpton on a Monday, Alex, this is a competitive race. For me, the way they're priced up here, I think the biggest in the betting is something like 12-1.
On the tissue.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they all come here and they bring recent form to the table as well. The one I liked probably out of them all the most, although he's got a few too many twos next to his name for many people, I'd imagine, is Stay Out of Court. Mm. I just think handicappers giving him 115. Now, he did bump into one the last day, but he's been very consistent, this horse. He's also got a bit of experience in Ireland as well. Cheap pieces, first time. And like I say, on his handicap debut, he could have certainly dropped on a less competitive race. But that said, he brings some nice form to the table. I would like to see a one at some point previous to this. But look, the main thing is he's consistent and he's turning up. It'll be interesting to see whether they think that he needs the cheap pieces to overcome the mark at 115, or whether he needs them just to actually get his head in front. We don't know, but we'll see tomorrow. But so far, he hasn't done a whole lot wrong as regards throwing the races away that he has been placed in. So I'm willing to give him another chance here, but this is ultra competitive, and any number of the six could be fighting it out going to the last, because like I said, they're all bringing some reasonably good recent form to the table. But Stay Out of Court for me and with Dave Pipe and David Noonan combination.
Okay, Stay Out of Court gets the vote in the Plumpton 3.20. The 3.50 is the next race we're going to look at. Handicap Chase over the extended 3-mile-1-furlong trip here. Seven of them heading to post in this one. And another pretty competitive affair. When you look, all of the runners, bar the top two in the handicap, were in the first three last time out. And again, that's an indication that on a day's racing that maybe isn't the best, there's still some pretty competitive types running here.
Yeah, and do you know what? For Plumpton on a Monday, it's same as the boys' race we just spoke about, and this race also as well. $6,500 to the winner. Mm. Now, for some of the meetings, them all weather races through the week, you're going around for a shade under $3,000 every day to the winner. So this is double. So hats off to them, and it's a good effort. It's a pity they've not been rewarded with more runners. Mm. But that said, the select runners we have are of, pretty reasonable ability. So it swings and roundabouts, really. But the one I liked here was actually the horse that was getting a fair lump of weight off the bulk of the field right down at the bottom, U2 Pet, for Mrs. J. Mason and James Davis. He's got plenty of experience pointing, this chap. He's actually won 3 points. He's ran in about a dozen points. So, like I say, he's got plenty of experience jumping-wise, but we haven't seen him that much under rules. But didn't do anything wrong at all last time at Taunton, over just short of 3 mile on his handicap debut. And for me, was probably unlucky to bump into one. And if he was to win tomorrow, he certainly wouldn't be winning out a turn this Norwich gelding, because, you know, he has been turning up and generally running his race. But he is also coming up against some in-form rivals here tomorrow in Royal Salute, and also like Sully for the Richard Rowe team. And even talk of the South, who was unlucky to come down the last day, because he still really hadn't been asked for an effort. But he's got 11 stone 12 to carry, and U2 Pet has got 10 stone 2. And, you know, on a day when the ground is going to take, I mean, it's at the minute they're only forecasting soft ground, so I thought it might have been worse. But conditions are still going to take a bit of getting through, and I'm sure 10 stone 2 on his back will be a big advantage, because the closest to him in the weights after that is 10 stone 13. So he's getting a good old chunk. He's getting a stone plus from the whole field. So it's or just short of a stone plus.
And number four up, he's getting almost two stone.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a major pull. But look, at the end of the day, the handicapper says that's how good he is, and that's how good Talking Us Out is. So you've got to take that into context as well. But, you know, this chap has been knocking on the door. And for me, he's waited to maybe get off the mark tomorrow under rules.
And also with going officially soft as we record this at about 3 o'clock on Sunday, and that'll be the fifth race on the card, it could well just, a lightweight may well make all the difference.
Could be crucial, yeah.
Right, we'll move to Ayr for one contest, the 3:30 race. It's a novices limited handicap chase over 3 miles. Again, small field, select field, 5 runners going to post. But once again, there's a few fairly informed types here, and the fact there's only 5 runners doesn't really make it any easier.
No, it doesn't. And, I mean, Lucinda has gone for the blinkers for Newtown Lad. I think they're needed. It was very laboured looking the last day, and just looked to me like a horse now was running out of ideas a little bit. So maybe the blinkers are going to squeeze a bit more improvement out of that chap, but they're going to need to, because I don't think, for me, Alex, he's got an inch to spare handicap wise. He's up to 118 now, and you know, the handicapper knows absolutely everything he needs to know about him. I thought maybe, although same comments would apply to Marley Massey, he wouldn't have any room to manoeuvre left or right handicap wise or up or down at the minute, because he's so consistent and he generally runs his race, and he's been a great yardstick for Nick Alexander and Lucy. But he likes it at Ayr, and you know, it's obviously a track that Nick Alexander does very well at. It's a small field, and you know, this is a horse who has really, in the last year, he's really found a winning thread, and he went on a great run last year, and in a difficult race to predict, because like I say, the bulk of them are weighted up to the hilt and have no secrets from the handicapper. So I just thought he's consistent, he knows how to win, and he does like Ayr. But it was tentative, because this for me was a very, very tight race. 7 balls of fire up at the top is getting £7 claimed off his back, but for me at the minute, he needs it. He needs every help he can get. So probably small stakes and a tentative selection in a trappy race, Marley Massey.
Okay, Marley Massey gets the nod in the 3:30 at Ayr. And we're going to go back in time for the final race that we're going to look at. It's the 1:30 from Southall. Thought we'd take in some fibresand action as well. 1 mile and 6 furlongs the trip for this handicap. Again, only 5 of them going to post, but once again, some informed types. Start 7, which is easy for me to say. Comes here bidding for a hat-trick. We've got Brigadoon, who comes here off the back of 3 very good runs consecutively. Free Bounty was a winner last time out. Scrafton has ability, just is a little bit frustrating from time to time. And Moonshine Ridge returning from an absence, but has a course and distance win to her name. Again, pretty hard to rule many of these out.
Yeah, it's reasonably competitive. Well, Moonshine Ridge, 202 days since we last seen him, but he's in very capable hands of Alan Swinbank. Brigadoon, same thing. He's normally fairly reliable, and at a track where Mick Appleby, you know, we don't need to repeat how well he does at the course. Trent stacks loads of winners there. Free Bounty, Holly Dial is going to take £5 off his back, bringing his weight down to 9 stone for a very shrewd operator in Philip McBride. But start 7 at Wolverhampton last week. It was last Monday. I was there that day, and Adam Kirby, who, you know, rides so many winners and so many good horses, he was very impressed with this horse. And, you know, he said he's still quite green. He's a big old unit. But, you know, he's gone back to back now. And the other day, it was literally, they only went a very reasonable gallop. Urata made the run of Martin Harley that day. But that said, he gave him a good lead round. And it was only a matter of Adam having to push the button. Now, obviously, he's got a welterweight to carry tomorrow in 10 stone 3. But Brigadoon's 9.13, Moonchery's 9.11. So apart from maybe the two at the bottom, he's not having to give shed loads of weight away. But like I've mentioned earlier, he is a big old unit, start 7. And I think this mile 6, that would have been sharp enough even on him the other day around a track like Wolverhampton. For me, Southall will suit him far better. A big grinder where Kirby can go up through his gears a good way out and just get him rolling. And for me, 10 stone 3 won't bother this horse one bit. I wouldn't be too bothered about the stall 1 draw. I mean, Southall is the only track in the country for me, and I've always said it, you've got to be drawn wide. Got to be drawn wide because it's such severe kickback.
But with 5 runners, there's a bit of room for manoeuvre, isn't
exactly
there?
And obviously, there's not going to be as much kickback.
No.
But, you know, from 1... that mile 6 start is down the bottom of the straight. He's got plenty of time to manoeuvre and get himself some sort of posse where he's not getting too much kickback. But even still, I really, really cannot see this horse not getting his hat-trick tomorrow, because for me, he looks a real improver, and a switch to somewhere like Southall will really... it will play to his strengths, Alex, you know?
Yeah. Yet to run out Southall, which sometimes seems a negative, but this one could be a positive for the Osborne runner, who remains unexposed. Start 7 gets the votes in the Southall 130. Great stuff, Paddy. Enjoy all the action on Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.